Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, Dr. Phil Davidson has been an orthopedic specialist specializing in knee and shoulder. He's known for pioneering procedures like cartilage restoration and joint resurfacing. He's going to join us today to discuss bioorthopedics. Now, bioorthopedics helps with ligament healing, bone healing, cartilage healing, and treating arthritis. Now, you've also heard of stem cell therapy. Well, Dr. Davidson will join us to talk about this holistic approach to stem cell therapy that includes a few other things that we'll hear about, like hyaluronic acid and PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma, to heal injuries. Well, let's have him explain it a little more. Good morning to you, Dr. Davidson. Great to have you back on the show.
Good morning to you, Lynn, and good morning to you, Tim.
So as I was just saying to you before we went on air, we've talked a lot on the show about stem cell therapy. I think what you're sort of saying is that in this industry that has been growing, people are really interested in it. Is this an alternative to surgery? There's a little something more than just inserting stem cells into your injured joint.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lynn. I guess when you invited me to come on today, I gave it some thought, and I think there's two perspectives I want to share. And one is to join in the excitement that some of your other guests have talked about and we see in the community. And the other is to put it in the perspective of a surgeon insofar as that my fundamental belief on this topic is, and we'll talk about the exciting science, but it needs to be put in perspective or context like so many things in life. If you go to an automobile dealership and all they do is sell 2011 Audis, what kind of car do you think they're going to recommend? Yeah. And so only by virtue of having a broad perspective, a holistic perspective, a patient-centered perspective are what I believe the most current and best alternatives going to be presented to patients. You know, I have people come to my office and they know of the treatments I do and my background. And I say, well, I'd like stem cells, Dr. Davidson. And about half these people, I say, I don't think it's worth your money, the effort, the resources, and here's why, and here's an alternative. And I feel very strongly that we as healthcare providers and physicians are obligated to present the best science and the most ethical, efficacious alternatives to our patients.
When we talk about bioorthopedics, it's more of a sort of overarching holistic program that may include stem cell therapy, but it may include hyaluronic acid and PRP. Yeah.
Right. So bioorthopedics is a term that's being put forward by the orthopedic community. And the idea is that historically, orthopedists were fixing broken bones and repairing torn things in the body. And now what's happened is that with the advance of science and our increased knowledge about the biologics, that we realize that it's not always plates and screws and sutures and surgery that's going to be the solution, but rather it's this promotion of healing from within and optimizing the situation. So that doesn't mean I'm opposed to surgery or that these therapies are instead of surgery, but they are these therapies. Again, we're going to talk about hyaluronic acid, which some patients call joint lubrication. We'll talk about PRP, which are platelets, platelet-rich plasma, and stem cells. But these are used, as I think about them, as an adjuvant or a intentional alternative in the context. So again, the idea is what's best for the patient in their individual situation, in their season, in their life, in their health, in their joint. And that's the whole notion of bioorthopedics with the availability of surgery as needed.
Have you always been a patient-centric surgeon, or have you evolved to this position with this view of the full context and broader context and a palette of options as part of the context?
I guess there's two broad trends in American orthopedics. And one is that surgeons under economic, social, and other pressures are forced to see more and more patients, 50, 60, 70 patients a day, and just do surgery and just focus on treating the most people, helping the most people in that fashion. And I've intentionally, over the years of my practice, modified and adjusted that I'm exclusively devoted to the patient-centric practice. We'll take the time necessary for education and to figure out, because each person, regardless of the encounter, has their own agenda. And the idea is to figure out what that agenda is and answer it in an appropriate way. So it's a big commitment of mine, and I'm glad you point that out, Tim.
Yeah, we hear kind of about this approach a lot on this show because I think we're an interesting community, and I would probably be, you know, way outside of my range of knowledge to say that there's something happening within the medical community here in the Summit County or Utah region or whatever, you know, how you want to define that. But we certainly hear about a patient-centric philosophy, and we hear about a holistic approach, and we hear a lot about wellness and healing and these things. And I'm always fascinated, and I wonder if we are an anomaly or if we're riding a wave that is sweeping the medical profession and is national and maybe global in scope.
Well, I think that we in Summit County have some unique characteristics. Like most of my friends in the community and my wife Ruth and I mean, we came here because we love the activities. We wanted to be in a healthy environment. We want to be outside and do everything seasonally, like so many people, and I know the two of you. So I would say that our population is uniquely interested in their devotion to activity. I mean, my typical patient has to figure out when to do surgery because they want to ski, they want to bike ride, they want to hike, they want to travel. We want to do all these physically active things. And the maintenance of orthopedic health to facilitate that is critical, critically important. So I think that our population is healthier and more interested in activities because we're self-selected.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics. He's got two practices, one in Salt Lake, one here at Kemble Junction in Park City. And we're talking about bioorthopedics. And I'm so glad I've got you in front of me, Phil, because...
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
The latest ailment.
My latest ailment. Well, actually, Dr. Davidson knows about it, although he probably doesn't remember, because it was like 4 years ago I came to you to find out what was wrong with my shoulder. Through MRI, we discovered it was a torn labrum. Not bad enough to feel like I want to have surgery, but I figured at some point I'm going to fall off my bike and, you know, there we go. I'm going to have surgery. But I'm very heartened to know about bioorthopedics. And I've thought about stem cell therapy. The thing that has kept me away from it is just, well, A, insurance usually doesn't cover it. And B, just wondering, like you say, is that what is going to help me? So there's my for example. This is my free office visit.
Well, let's put it in perspective. So when we think about the injection therapies, broadly speaking, there's four kinds. There's the steroid, and the steroid has the advantage of offering short-term relief and decreasing inflammation. That's been around for more than 50 years. Then we have the hyaluronic, which comes in different brands, but is a joint supplement. It's one of the constituents or the things that make up our cartilage, and it provides some lubrication. Many patients can provide pain relief. It wouldn't help in your case, for example, to heal a labrum. There's no reason to expect it would. Then when we get into PRP, there's different kinds of PRP, but PRP takes the part of our blood. Our blood has different cellular constituents. We have the red blood cells that carry oxygen. We have the white blood cells, broadly speaking, that fight infection. And the platelets contain these growth factors that do healing and clotting. And the idea of PRP is to concentrate or isolate from your own blood the platelets and then re-inject it into a site where the growth factors can perform their magic. And then the last injection I would call broadly cellular therapies, and that would include stem cells, and there's variations on stem cells. Unfortunately, and to your disappointment, after 4 years, a torn labrum is Latin for lip, it's the soft tissue rim inside the shoulder. After 4 years, the capacity to heal that is negligible. So maybe you'll have to invite me back to talk about labrum repair. But yeah. Injection therapy has a lot of utility. But in an adult shoulder like yours, none of those four injection therapies, regardless of which one or what you pay or what's approved by insurance, would realistically be expected to actually heal your labrum.
Wow, so good to know. Hey, quick question about hyaluronic acid. I know that this is kind of the new thing in facial care. People have hyaluronic acid in their lotions or potions. This one, do you ingest or do you inject it?
Right.
Versus...
So in the dermal usage in plastic surgery and so forth, it's as a filler. And we're using it because hyaluronic acid is part of the it's part of the molecular makeup of cartilage. It binds with the collagen and holds water and gives the resiliency of cartilage. So it's one of the components or constituents of cartilage. And when it's injected, it can help provide some lubrication. And in patients whom it helps, it doesn't help everybody. In my experience, it provides some relief of aching. It doesn't help with catching pain or sharp pain. If someone comes in and the chief complaint is sort of soreness when they sit in a movie, stiffness when they get up, hyaluronic is helpful for that. But people, for example, whose joint catches, hyaluronic's not an option.
I'm wondering about the, you mentioned the science behind these new practices. And I don't, maybe they're not new practices. I mean, cortisone injection has been going on, as you said, for 50 years. That's, you know, long been accepted. Are these other practices accepted at this point, or are you and other practitioners kind of breaking new ground and through your practice providing the data that allows it to be peer reviewed or allows the studies to come into play? And so I don't know how that works.
Yeah. So broadly speaking, the science surrounding hyaluronic acid is mixed. There are large, valid studies with contradictory results. And as you can imagine, with those contradictory results, different parties reach different conclusions. For example, now some large health insurers, Blue Cross Blue Shield, for example, will no longer pay for hyaluronic acid, saying that the studies oppose it. Well, there's an equal number of studies that support its usage in sort of different ways. So the science on hyaluronic acid is more than 30 years old. It's large, it's valid, and unfortunately, it's contradictory. So the conclusions need to be further refined. Regarding PRP, we're beginning to see, for example, some good scientific information, because there's different kinds of PRP. There's different ways to process the blood. And certain types, for example, the one with fewer white blood cells, is showing to be more effective for the treatment of arthritis. And then when we get to stem cells, we're really in the infancy of our scientific knowledge. The most important thing, and I've recently gotten an article accepted for publication on the topic of stem cells for knee osteoarthritis, the most important thing we can say to begin with is that it's safe. The concern was amongst both doctors and patients, you can inject these stem cells. Remember, stem cells can become any kind of cell. Maybe they become a cancer cell. Maybe they become an inappropriate cell in someone's knee. And that's not found. In fact, it's never been reported in the scientific literature that the stem cells have actually themselves caused harm or done anything unintended. So we know the stem cells are safe. Then the first round of scientific reports, of which we're now seeing, shows, broadly speaking, and I emphasize the word broadly speaking, that the stem cells can be helpful. That doesn't mean it's helpful for everyone. It just means that if you look at groups, and typically thus far it's smaller groups of patients, that some benefit is seen statistically. But patients come in and they want to know, look, I'm a 50-year-old woman. Is it going to help me with this degree of arthritis? We can't answer that as clinicians. All we can say is that the early data is promising, and in certain instances we think it's helpful.
Lynn, you'll be pleased to learn that I have a pain in my shoulder as well.
That pleases me, indeed.
And I have to say, I think I got it by reaching into the backseat of my car and lifting a cooler on my recent road trip, and I can feel it right on the top of my shoulder.
Hey, you're trying to get a free office visit,
and
too.
It kind of hurts right now. Just doing that just re-aggravated it.
Reaching back the way you're demonstrating here in the...
And then lifting something heavy.
It's in the studio, but the way you've turned your arm, the way you're demonstrating, that's a classic rotator cuff sign of pain. So I hate to use the... People are scared of rotator cuff pain because it can be a long, hard recovery.
I'm terrified.
You've demonstrated rotator cuff pain, Tim.
Is it true what they say? I hear people saying this all the time, that it is just so hard to get a shoulder right. You know, knees are one thing. Shoulders are way more complicated.
I guess I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that with certain shoulder surgeries, the recovery is long. You know, it can take, for example, 3, 4, even 5 months to do recovery from a rotator cuff, for example. But I think the outcomes, broadly speaking, are good. Most of my patients that undergo treatment, whether it's injection therapies or surgery, are glad they did it. A frequent comment I hear is, gosh, I wish I'd done this sooner. because it's worth, most patients feel like it's worthwhile. But broadly speaking, yes, I think shoulder recovery is a little more difficult than knee recovery.
Lynn, don't you remember the analogy and the example of the 2011 Audis that the car dealer said? You just asked a shoulder surgeon about shoulder surgery.
I realize. Oh, all right. Well, Dr. Phil Davidson, he's got two practices. Do you spend more time up here? You're a Park City resident.
Half and half.
Oh, half and half.
Yeah,
so
half.
Salt Lake, and you're down on 60-something south.
Yeah, we're in the Old Mill Medical Complex, right in the Cottonwood Heights area, and we have our administrative office down there, and up here is a clinical office that we share with Southwest Spine and Pain, Andy Talbot, and Mountainland Rehab. We share a space in the New Park section of Kimball Junction.
Okay. Which building is
that? Right behind Jupiter Bowl.
It's really nice to have you in. Always talking about something interesting and new and wonderful. And I know you still are working on cartilage restoration, joint resurfacing.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics. Take care.